So some of you asked me how my vacation went, and I thought I would show you some about it. I'm going to share a bit of my vacation as an example, as another way of sharing who I am with you, and always inviting you to share who you are with me and with one another, but also as an example of what happens when we have a vacation, when we take some time away. So I've asked Bryce to show these slides, and so here they come. I'm back from the mountains, and here's the first view of us. You see the mountains in the background. I always love when the car comes around the hills and you begin to see the mountains unfolding ahead, and you say, oh, we're getting there, we're getting there. And then when we got there, Harry and I rented a house for our family, our three children. Two of them are married, their spouses, and the five grandchildren. My sister joined us this time, so there were 11 in our house. This is the view off the front porch of the house. Once I had a friend who stayed with us, not in this house, but with a similar view, and I got up early to plug in the coffee and start making some bread or something, and I went out, and she was sitting there on the porch, and she said, when I came out here, there was a mountain out there, but now it's gone. Because those clouds can just roll up and the view might disappear, but it's just a beautiful, beautiful place. Here's another picture also from that porch, just looking down a bit and seeing the colors and the trees. And then my family's a little crazy. There were two houses and two campsites of us. So there were 30 of us. And here we are, almost all of us. We decided we would go on a hike up what's called Lookout Mountain. So this is before the hike. There we all are. Now the next picture is us on top of Lookout Mountain after we made the pull up the mountain. We don't look too bad, do we? A little sweatier. But there we are. And that was fun. And here's a picture of the children that went on the hike. Isn't that fun to see a whole group of kids? Most of them are my mother's great-grandchildren, all of whom were there, but two of them are actually my mother's grandchildren, who are among the youngest of the batch, because my youngest brother got started late. But so those are the kids. And then here's a picture of us on the porch at our house, a group of us gathered and just talking and rocking. And then there are a few inside the living room. You can see into the dining area back there. And then here's some boys on the porch playing with somebody's video game or something, right, of course. And then here are the girl cousins. There are only two. My mother has nine grandchildren, but there are only two that are girls. But they're special. They're special. And then here's a grandfather and a grandson, Harry, and our youngest grandchild, Carter. And then here's some, you saw how you have to do puzzles. So that's three generations there working on a puzzle, my sister and our son, Seth, and one of the kids, maybe Davis, there. There's Seth showing something to Harry that he wants to share with his dad. And here's one of my daughter and me, Rachel and me. You may know that my daughter-in-law is also named Rachel. This is one of those Rachels with me. And then here I am with Rachel's two sons, Davis and Carter. So that's a kind of overview of some of what was going on while I was in Montreat, North Carolina last week. But I thought you might like to do a hike with us. And so I decided to invite you to go on one of our walks. So here's Carter, and he's saying, come on, go for a walk with me. And so here he goes up the walk. He's saying, come on, don't get far behind. And then we're going to cross that bridge. Isn't it pretty? There's a creek under there. And then we get a picture of the woods. They're cool. There was a breeze blowing. It wasn't cold, but it was cool. We had to get down to the creek. So there's Rachel with her boys stepping into that creek at the foot of a little waterfall. But Davis thought it was important to touch the water in the waterfall. So there he is reaching across there. I hope you can kind of sense what that would feel like, that cold mountain water on your hands. And then there was just this wonderful moment when Rachel and Jason and their boys were walking down a trail in the filtered light, and I just thought, what a wonderful way for a family to spend time together and just not be cluttered by schedules and work schedules and all of that, but just to be together. But then a moment later, I found Rachel and Jason holding hands, and it makes me cry a little bit because they love each other so much, and I'm so, so glad of that. So I wanted to share that with you, not just about my vacation, but about all the ways that we can connect with one another in our families and pay attention that it's a way we connect with God. You heard those words in Psalm 24, "The earth is the Lord's, and all that is in it, the world and all those who live in it, for God has founded it on the seas and established it on the rivers." And the psalmist is talking about the world, the beauty of the world. Now think about where you find the beauty of the world. Sometimes you might be in the mountains or hills. You might find it on the beach. On the east coast, you might see a sunrise. On the west coast, like our own, a sunset. Or maybe you know how to find a way to get out on a sailboat or in a canoe. Maybe you go out to Cedar Kirk and walk out in the woods. There are all kinds of ways that we can stop a moment and take a breath and see the earth and remember whose it is, who made it, who gave it to us. So the beauty of that place, whatever the place is, reminds us of the Creator, of God's power and majesty, of our dependence on God. We've been praying for God's care. We give thanks for God's care. Our gratitude for who God is and who God has called us to be. So the earth is the Lord's and all that is in it. I thought I'd ask you to turn to somebody near you and tell them of a place that means a lot to you, a place that reminds you of God. You'll have to kind of call around to each other since you're standing alone. I'll come over here and let Grace tell me. Take a minute and tell somebody where you would go that would remind you of God.
Cocoa Beach, Florida.
Is that your place?
Yes.
The beach, and you'd hear the sound of it rolling in.
Yes.
And you'd feel the sand.
Absolutely.
Under your feet.
And at night, particularly.
And at night,
yes.
Hearing the waves roll.
Yes.
Who pictured a place? How many of you pictured a beach or shore? There are some. How many of you picked a mountain? How many of you pictured a person? Did anybody picture a person as a place? That might be something you might do. Anybody want to share anything special with the whole group? Grace mentioned that her special place is Cocoa Beach, and she said it's especially at night, especially in the evenings. That's a wonderful thing. The beauty of places can remind us of God, who is the Creator, of God's power and majesty. What happens, I think, in these places is that we are reminded that the world is not ours, that we are not in control. There are a lot of things we can do that kind of help us control things, but in the end, it's not up to us. God is in control. We can't control the geography of the world. We can't control its physical systems. We can't even control politics, much as we'd like to. No one leader can dominate the world. And really, maybe that's better, isn't it? How disastrous it could be if any one person or set of people were in control. Now, we have lots of stories like the empire, right? You know, Star Wars empire. There's this whole notion of somehow there could be someone in control, but what we really know is the one in control is God. And it's not just the world that God controls, but really life itself that we can't control. In Montreat this week, my sister-in-law, Susan, was there. She's been dealing with cancer over the last 3 or 4 years, and you just don't know how that will unfold. So the courage of that and the bittersweet kind of times to spend with her to treasure are important. So up on the mountains or out by the beach or out on a sailboat or on a meadow or wherever the place is, we can ponder our own value and our frailty and our dependence on God. It makes me think about Psalm 8, where the psalmist says, "What are we that God is mindful of us, that God has given us some authority over the rest of the world? Who are we? Who are we?" So Harry and I got talking about the mountain and the role of a mountain for me and for people. His comment was that mountains are places that you can go to be thoughtful, to be spiritual. After all, on a mountain, you can't really grow crops. So you can't sustain communities on mountains. You have to go down to the valleys or to the riverbeds where the soil is more fertile. Mountains are that place apart. So I said to him, yes, but mountains are the places where you can defend yourselves. And he agreed, that's right. In communities where there was a castle, right, the people came to the high place to find shelter and protection. But in the mountain, in the Bible, that's where Moses goes to speak with God. That's where Elijah goes to see God. That's where Jesus is teaching the Sermon on the Mount, right? The Transfiguration is Jesus meeting with Moses and Elijah on the mountain. Mountains are one of the places that are spiritual places, spiritual places. So what I did on my vacation, along with hiking a few hills and mountains and preparing mammoth meals for 30 and stuff like that, was find some quiet space, some places where I could treasure what life gives us. And that's my hope, that you have times like that. Maybe not vacations or staycations or, you know, whatever, but you know, maybe there's a time every day in your life, or you can take time, Sabbath time, time to reflect on who you are and whose you are. So I asked Bryce to show this picture. I've forgotten where I found that this week, but I took the picture of it. It's the words from Philippians 4, 8, and 9. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, I think the words are sometimes honorable and just, whatever is pure, lovely, admirable, if there is anything that is excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things. Find times to focus on the positive and the lovely, and let that feed your soul. That's instruction to you today. And it works for teenagers, and it works for parent age people, and it works for working people, and it works for seniors. It works for all of us to find moments and ways that we can see the good in life and let God's goodness shine through. So now, if this works, what I want to do is play for you about 20 seconds of the sound of the creek in Montreat. Let's see if it'll play for us. Does it click in? Just 1 second. You ought to be able to hear the burbling brook and see the water flowing. I posted a version of this on our website, thinking, and it's also on my Facebook page, that you might be able just to click in it and listen for 20 seconds and let your heart still. I brought a rock. You never know what I'm going to do, do you? This, can you see it? This is a mica-laden rock that came from Montreat. This one's heavy. You can, in the playground, in the creek, there will be just rocks that shine, and you can reach in and pick them up. I have to take it back to Montreat. You know, there was a truck that ran into the Montreat gate. The gate is made out of rocks like this. They're not all shiny. But a couple years ago, a truck ran into the gate, and Montreat posted a picture of where the stones had come down, and they said, if anybody picked up any of these stones, please bring them back. So about 6 months later, they put out a puzzle of the Montreat Great Gate, and they said, now you too can reassemble the gate.
Where are you going to put this in your yard?
This is actually behind my front door. Can you see the layers of mica? Look on the edge. It's incredible. It's put together, you know, with like 15 layers of that shiny. I think they used to make windows out of mica. Do you remember that? Have you heard that? In like soddy houses and all that. Well, if anybody wants to, you may look at it, but if you pick it up, it's heavy, I'm warning you. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts today and in the days to come, may those be acceptable in your sight. O God, you are our rock and our salvation. Amen. Let us turn to the hymn, I Sing the Mighty Power of God. We can stand to sing that hymn.